The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
And now it's time for the talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello, good morning. 4 minutes past nine. It's Monday, the 31st of July, 2023, the last month of July. Tomorrow, as I said to Lee there, then we are into August. How are you doing? How are you keeping? I hope you're very well. How was your weekend? Let us know. Did anything interesting happen? Anything you wish to pass on? The lines are open for you, as you know, I think. You can text or WhatsApp us right now on 086 60 25000, 086 60 25000. If you're listening outside the Republic, 00353 86 60 25000. If you want to call us, 07491 25000. Caroline and Niamh taking your calls there, 00353 749 125000. Again, if you happen to be listening from outside the Republic, your email's always welcome into us as well, comments@highlandradio.com. Right, let's see what's making the front of inside of the papers. National papers a bit thin on news today. Maybe we are in the so-called silly season. But anyway, let's start with the locals. The Derry People Donegal News, a charity providing subsidised flights for Donegal cancer patients to Dublin for treatment, has called on the government to step in to avert a planned 24-hour stoppage this week, which will leave hundreds in limbo. Pilots at Aer Lingus's regional operator, Emerald Airlines, plan to halt work for one day ahead of this August bank holiday weekend in a move their union says could disrupt flights. Emerald Airlines operates regional flights, including the Dublin to Donegal service. Action commenced in June, which escalated last week, and could see a 24-hour stoppage by pilots take place this bank holiday weekend. On to the Derry news. Does this surprise you? The Derry City and Strabane District Council area has the highest level of antidepressant prescribing in the north. 35,434 people here received antidepressants in 2022-23. 23.4% of the entire population. This is compared to 19.9% of the population overall. The figure increased from 22.5% in the previous reporting period. The statistics were revealed in the Family Practitioner Service General Pharmaceutical Services Annual Statistics 22-23 report published in June by the HSC's Business Service Organisation. You can read more in full inside today's Derry News. On to the Irish Times now, their front page, or part of it. Appointees to a new managerial tier in the HSC, so this is an additional managerial tier, could earn more than $250,000 a year, significantly more than hospital managers currently earn under a plan developed by Minister for Health Stephen Donnelly. Under the new plan, those heading up the new six HSC health regions being rolled out under Sláinte Care will be paid up to €257,000 each. The government believes the higher salaries are needed to retain and attract top-class healthcare managers to retain them. With salaries aligned to the pay scale in the new consultant contract signed off last year. So he, the health minister, to hold on to the talent that's here already running the health service, believes that those positions would need to offer $257,000 for fear they could go elsewhere, I presume. The salaries are significantly higher than those paid to existing six hospital group managers and nine community health care organisation chief officers, who are being paid €110,000 to €175,000 annually already. So the heads of the six hospital groups at the moment and the community healthcare organisation chief officers are earning between €110,000 and €175,000, and there's going to be a new level of management above them, it seems, each earning €257,000 each, all for the health service that's currently being provided there. On to the Irish Independent now, and consumers have been warned to brace for another raft of price hikes despite an easing in the rate of inflation. Among the goods and services set to rise in price are the cost of petrol and diesel, alcohol, streaming services and transport services. It comes at a time when domestic gas and electricity prices remain at record highs, with only a small reduction in prices expected over the coming months. The continued price surge is despite the latest inflation figures from the Central Statistics Office showing consumer prices rose at a rate of 6.1% in June, down from 9.2% in October. Experts said this means the rate of increase in prices has eased, but they're still rising, just not as fast as they were. But they're not coming down, so these are lower price increases on top of the already big price increases. It's not like we revert back to point zero and then start with a 6% increase. The 6% is on top of last year's 9%. Chair of the Consumer Association, Michael Kilcoyne, said the ongoing squeeze on disposable income means the government will have to announce a large programme of financial assistance for consumers in the budget. But the oxymoron there for me is that the reason we're seeing increased prices, increased interest rates, is to stop us spending, to make us be under pressure to drive down inflation. So it doesn't make a lot of sense, the process that we use. But anyway, I've talked about that before, still scratching my head. The Irish Daily Mail this morning tells us that Union Forsa has held a meeting of their members from libraries across the country for the first time over fears anti-LGBT disturbances will expand to more areas. A library in Cork was forced to close on Saturday after a banner was mounted by protesters across the entrance without permission, the latest in a series of protests over LGBT reading material. Cork City Library on Grand Parade said the decision to close was taken in the interests of the safety and well-being of the public and library staff. Head of Local Services at Forsa, Richie Carruthers, said they called the meeting at short notice this week because of the ongoing threat posed by far-right agitators and actions or actors in libraries. Mr. Carruthers told the Irish Daily Mail, "People are anxious and they want to feel safe in their workplace and they want their employees to step up to the plate." Now, the protest seems to be about a particular book which the protesters were reading out to people who didn't want it read out to them. I thought that was a wee bit ironic, but anyway, it's about one particular book in a library. Okay, on to the Irish Daily Star this morning. As you heard there, Donna Marie mentioned in the news, Taoiseach Leo Varadkar has insisted that he'll not call an early election and that he will continue to lead Fine Gael. This despite proposed motions at a recent Young Fine Gael summer school meeting calling for him to step down if the party lost seats in the local or general elections. It's understood one branch of the youth group suggested debating motions calling for the party leader to resign after the next local elections if Fine Gael loses more than 10% of seats won in 2019. Though that doesn't make sense because the general election follows the local elections really quite smartly. Another proposed motion suggested YFG should call for the party leader to resign after the next election if Fine Gael does not win 10 additional seats. A spokesperson for the Taoiseach said these motions were not debated. I'm not really surprised, they don't make a great deal of sense, but he's going nowhere and we're not going to have an early election, apparently. The Sun tells us that intense private security briefings have been given to the country's TDs by Gardaí in recent months. The move came after a spate of death threats as well as verbal and online abuse against the politicians and their families. Louth TD Fergus O'Dowd confirmed that he and his staff were advised about security at their homes and offices as some Oireachtas members have been targeted by abusive members of the public. It's understood some TDs have received more than 100 threatening calls a day and their staff and relatives are fearful for their safety. Gardaí have assigned a sergeant in each constituency to liaise with TDs and senators on personal security. I'm not sure what, if any, meetings have taken place in this part of the world, but that was down in Louth. And finally, we'll go to the back page. James McCarthy lifted the All-Ireland at Croke Park and then hit out at the disgraceful shots aimed at boss Desi Farrell. This is the Mirror. McCarthy, Michael Fitzmaurice and Stephen Cluxton claimed record ninth All-Ireland medals as they helped Dublin to glory. And McCarthy claimed it wouldn't be a bad way to wrap up the careers of some of Dublin's senior stars. What did you think of the game? It was close. I don't think it was a masterclass by either team as such. But Dublin won out in the end. I think Kerry will be rueing some refereeing decisions and maybe some missed chances as well. We'll ask Brendan Devaney his views on that when he's in with us after 11. But what did you think? 086 60 25,000. That's the WhatsApp and text number for any of your comments on any of the stories that you've heard about there. Or you can give us a call right now on 07491 25,000. We had Reverend Paul on Friday who was expressing his views about I suppose, procreation and the future of society and the spread of STIs and what have you. This caller says, listening to your speaker on Friday, I found it difficult to get my head around the statement that God created one man and one woman. And this is where the human race came from. How can two people create so many different races? Just asking the question. Well, that's the belief system of one church. There's over 4,000 churches. And I suppose to some extent it depends on where you're born and to who you're born as to which God or religion you follow. But that's his. And that was his views. Right, I have plenty more comments to catch up on too from the weekend as well. Right, an IFA delegation led by Donegal IFA Chair Joe Sweeney recently met with senior officials from Donegal County Council to discuss farmer concerns in relation to the Tenty Roadway and Barnes Moor Gap Greenway projects. Michael Chance is National Environment Committee, or is on it with the IFA in Donegal. Good morning to you, Michael. Thanks for taking the call.
Good morning, Greg.
All right, so what concerns had farmers had that were related to the council then, I wonder?
Well, obviously, having a road through your land is a major intrusion. But we accept that this is going to happen, and that's why we have the CPO system. Our main concern at the minute is the IFA. TII, Transport Infrastructure Ireland road agreement, has lapsed, and we want that up and running again so that farmers have protection and support and guarantees when the project comes up.
And what kind of guarantees are you looking for? Because I think it's about an agreement which is to ensure landowners, farmers, are treated fairly. So what does that look like in an ideal world?
There's a system there, a protocol of how it's dealt with. And we met with the engineer, with the council engineers, and they equally would prefer to have that in place because it gives everyone everyone knows where they stand. There's also involved in it a goodwill payment for if you agree to go into negotiations with the council. And that's important.
And in terms of what value is put on this land, is that an issue as well that needs to be discussed, or has that already been resolved, or is that a fait accompli? Does the government set that, or not the government, but the TEI and the process?
Oh no, it's very much up for negotiation, and there's the basic price of the land. There's the if your farm is cut in two. You can claim for severance. There's the issue of if you're a livestock farmer, whether you get underpasses or even on a major road, an overpass, which it's unlikely on this scheme. But profitability, of course, is the thing, because a farmer is basically losing his the land which he uses, which he needs to earn his living. Mm-hmm. So that's involved too. There's all sorts of headings you can negotiate under.
Yes, and of course, whilst this has come up now, Michael, as part of this process, this is not unusual. This is not a Donegal issue. This happens presumably with any major development that involves, farmland or crossing farmland or splitting it. It happens all over the place.
Very much so. The difference basically is with the lapse of the agreement. Most of the major projects, motorways, etc., were delivered down the country under this agreement. And that didn't happen in Donegal. And so that's why we want the agreement back in place.
Well, it's an improved agreement, really, which you're calling for, isn't it?
Oh, of course, we'll obviously look to update it, because that agreement was made, the basic agreement was made many years ago.
Is the Barnesmore Gap Greenway project any less or simple or more complicated? Because that's early stage of exploration at this point, I suppose.
It's not as intrusive a project, but it's very much embedded, as you would say, in the farmland, in the countryside, and on the Ballybuffet side, there is quite a lot of state-owned land, forestry, etc. And the policy is that they use that as much as possible. There's been quite a lot of issues down the country with regard to the same thing again, dividing farmland and making it more difficult to operate and so on.
And I presume with a greenway, because of the type of traffic that's on it, foot traffic, cycling traffic and what have you too, in terms of, you know, land being protected or liability and things like that, there that also has to be worked through, I presume.
Oh, of course, yeah. I mean, the promoter of the greenway obviously has to be responsible for indemnifying the landowner against any liability.
Okay, and the offer is out there. I think most farmers, landowners are already sort of engaging with the council through their third-party valuer or whatever you might call it. But you're saying the IFA, for anyone that is affected by this that hasn't entered that process, the IFA are offering support through the RFO office.
That's correct, yeah. Most farmers have an agronomist appointed. And, I mean, there's a large number of people involved. You're talking 63 kilometres of road, approximately 200 farmers. There are a lot of other landowners, you know, people who have property owners involved.
Yes, I get you.
People having their homes demolished and so on.
All right, Michael, thank you for your time this morning. That's Michael Chance, National Environment Committee with the IFA Donegal. Right, we were talking various issues on Friday. Friday's such a busy morning, though, that we don't always get to all of the comments. And there's a mixture here, some talking about rail, some talking about defective concrete and so on. So I'll go through some of them for you right now. Hi, Greg. My wife and I are pensioners living in a mica house. We haven't even been accepted onto stage one yet. And even though the application included the engineer report, as yet, not even a glimmer of hope of reimbursement of the engineer's fees. We just feel like we're being shafted and taken for mugs. I'm sorry you feel like that. All the talk about the rail from Letterkenny to Strabane and Derry and further down south of the county to Sligo. Not one person mentioning the west of the county left behind again with the worst infrastructure and least investment in the whole country. I can understand how you might feel like that. I think that your show underlines, Greg, is the serious lack of transparency with the people that it claims to govern. This can be seen in many local organisations too. All I can say is I hope Sinn Féin can do better. Greg, the best thing to happen in the next general election is to wipe out the three main parties. Get new blood in. They are in far too long, believes one listener. With the weather we're getting here in Donegal, we should be investing in boats rather than trains. Okay, indeed. And we had this yellow weather warning in place for Saturday and lots of events were organised. And I'm sure some areas of the northwest did experience heavy rain. But there is a sense that maybe Metairn were covering themselves a little bit off the back of the floods that we saw the previous weekend in the east of the county. Did the weather, the yellow weather warning, did the rain really transpire and did it have any effect on anything that you were organising yesterday? Where I was anyway, bucketed down most of the day. Saturday, I saw one shower. But that being said, I'm not going to lie, I did adjust my plans for Saturday. There was stuff I was going to do and I thought it was going to be raining all day and I just didn't do it. More the fool me. Maybe it suited me, you know what I'm saying. Random request here. Actually, that's probably sorted at this stage. We'll chase that one up in case that's been fixed there. Greg, the My Mind Counselling session stopped in March and nobody was told. They only recently started up again when a homeowner alerted us. It had stopped and we got onto the department. It's only reinstated until the end of 23 and up to 75 people can get 6 online sessions each. That's what I've been told. I find it strange the local organisations established and already providing this service haven't been given the funding for this. Some councillors have been providing sessions voluntarily locally. that's kind of why I was interested in how much was being given to my mind and how many classes or how, not classes, sorry, how many sessions could be provided through that. I thought that would have been information, important information, but it just wasn't available. I contacted Donegal County Council four times between this and last week, saying that I had a house to rent to the council, as I heard on your show last week that they were looking for houses for thousands of people. One person told me to go online and fill in a form. Another person then told me that form is no longer valid. Twice they said that someone would ring me to discuss it further, but nobody's gotten back to me at all. They will have great difficulty housing thousands of people when they're not making it easy for people who have houses to give. Right, I'll come back to more of your comments as we get on. Sean McBride from Greencastle, former judge. Hi, Sean. Good morning to you. Thank you very much for joining us today.
You're welcome.
Right, Sean, the line is not fantastic, but you were very pleased with Dublin's victory yesterday.
I was, Greg, because I felt, well, first of all, I felt they were the better football team. You know, they were more skillful than Kerry, and they were more up for it and hungry for it as well. And I don't think we give them enough credit when they withstood the Kerry renaissance in the second half, when Kerry scored 3 points in a row. One of them was a spectacular effort from David Clifford's older brother, the other Clifford, Potty. Fantastic point. But Dublin then came back like a ram at them. They just absolutely blew them apart. I thought Brian Hurd in midfield had a fantastic game until he went off injured. His work rate was second to none. And Fenton, the best midfielder in the country, he conducted the orchestra, driving through the middle and setting up the passes and all of that. And I thought Paul Mannion was outstanding with his 5 points. You know, I just felt it was Dublin's day. Now, I would have a soft spot for Dublin because I spent, when I left St. Columb's, I spent from 69 to 75 up in Dublin, captain UCD track and field team. I ran for Dublin cross country before Donegal woke up and selected me. And then I ran for Donegal after that. But, you know, I think that that Dublin team are hugely underestimated. I think a very good side. Also, I felt that Kerry were a little bit rough and a bit over the top against Derry in the semi-final. So I knew that Dublin weren't going to lie down to those kind of tactics, you know?
Yeah, and indeed they roughed up some Kerry players themselves and got away with it too. You know, there was a couple of instances, one in particular, that effectively went unpunished. If it was punished like it perhaps should have been, it could have been a very different game.
Well, you're correct there. There was one or two incidents off the ball. But I think that applied to both teams. They were both at it. There was a pair of them in it, if you know what I mean, from my former days on the bench. I used to say if there was a scrap and there was one given as good as the other, there's a pair of you, you know? That was my view of it. I think it was... but maybe, too, a lot of it was sort of... I know there was one or two incidents that were totally unacceptable. But in the main, it was sort of rough stuff, but they sort of drew the line. You know, they concentrated on the ball as well. I think it was actually a very good game. No, it wasn't for the purists. You never get that in an All-Ireland final. Because what happens in finals in all sports, Greg, as I know, people make mistakes. You know, the pressure is on. You're only on the ball for a minute or two, and you have to let go of it, or else you'll be out over the sideline. You understand?
Yeah, another interesting...
Carry on.
I was going to say, another interesting aspect of yesterday's game, I thought, off the pitch as such, was that it was broadcast across Britain on BBC Two. I wonder what those new to the game... I mean, it was broadcast in Britain on Sky previously, but this was free to air. I wonder what... the general British public who tuned in thought of it. More rough and tumble than you might see in the Premiership, for an example.
Well, yes, but I think a refreshing change. Fellas get up, dust themselves down. As I say, when I was a boarder at St. Columb's, they weren't Mammy's Derry City Day Boys.
Yeah, I get you.
They needed a pat on the head. You know, they would be like us boarders, boys from the hill or the country. I think the spirit of the GAA is if you get a dunt, you get up and get on with it. You don't roll around there earning an Oscar in Hollywood, you know?
So overall, you'd say not for the purists, but a good game, and you're satisfied with the outcome, Sean. Would that be a fair assessment?
That is a fair assessment. Now, I would have friends down in the kingdom too, and I love the Kerry people. They're the nicest, modest people you could meet. And no doubt Kerry will come back. Make no doubt about that. Kerry will be back next year with a vengeance. I'm not under any illusions about that. They're a proud football county. But I just felt in the balance of the play yesterday, I felt Dublin deserved their win, you know, and fair play to them. It also keeps the game alive. But remember, in Dublin, there's an awful lot of competition in sport. You have rugby, which is very strong and a good game it is. You have soccer, of course, coming strong and their girls on today. And you have a lot of things to compete with in Dublin, you know. So it's important that the GAA are strong in our capital city.
All right, great stuff. Thanks for your comments, Sean. Take care of yourself. Do you agree, disagree? 086 60 25,000, or call us on 074 91 25,000. Good morning, Greg. Leo is looking again to give more of our money to electricity suppliers. What happened to taxing their profits? How long have we been waiting now? This is a scandal. Our money should not be paid to these cowboys. This has to stop now. What they're referencing there is the kite flying that happened on Friday, suggesting that there'll be more energy supports for people. But I made a similar point to the caller there, but in a different way. We're supposed to be getting them to pass on the savings they're making because wholesale electricity prices are down. They haven't passed that on to us at all. So instead of punishing them or enforcing them or whatever it might take to make that happen, we're actually going to give them more taxpayers' money. Yes, it will have the effect of it'll have the effect of saving some people from going into arrears, but it's just more taxpayers' money going to the electricity companies. A caller said, should we expect to see the rail link before the bridge over the Swilly promised 30 years ago? If you see either, let me know. Does anyone have any issues with the wrap-up scribbly in Letterkenny? It's far too high. The ramp, I take it. I've busted two shocks on it. That's €340 amount. Am I the only one? Talk to me about this wrap-up scribblies in Letterkenny, they believe. Scribbly. Well, why is it written down as scribbly? Is that how it's spelled? I don't know how you get scribbly out of two B's. Oh, right, scribbly. That's the local way of saying it. Let me know, is there a problem with the scribbly ramp? Right, as it relates to the calls on the housing minister to visit the Northwest to sell his scheme, a caller says the minister is scared to tell people that it's not a 100% scheme. No credit to him or his party or Fine Gael either, who should be making him accountable, responsible and transparent. I feel the Minister of Housing is afraid to come to Donegal, afraid to meet the strong people here in Inishowen. It's strange that he hasn't appeared once, for goodness sake. These people are waiting years and he cannot even have the manners to face them. Thank you. Back to the bridge. Bridge over the Swilly. Get a painted yellow box at Mountain Top so the residents of Calhame and further over are not sitting at a blocked roundabout for anything up to 12 minutes on a morning. That would be a nightmare. Now, obviously, just before we welcome our next guest onto the show, there are lots of questions as it relates to the enhanced effective concrete block scheme. And we continue to try and get a word with Minister O'Brien on that issue, of course, just to answer a few questions that people might have. To ask how it will work for people and how it might develop into the future. So we said, would it be available at any point this week? Even a pre-record, it doesn't really matter. I don't mind whenever we do it. But unfortunately, this week is a no-go either. So I just want you to know that we did try and we are trying. Okay, now we are joined by Deputy Mark McSharry. Good morning, Deputy. Thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning, Greg. Thanks for having me.
Right now, you've been talking about new accommodation that has been provided for those fleeing, I believe it's for Ukrainians, those fleeing the war in their country. And you say, look, that's the right thing to do. We should be doing that. But you have pointed out that we should also be doing that for other people as well. Is that a fair synopsis? And maybe you want to sort of expand on your view there, Mark?
Yeah, definitely. It is a fair synopsis. I mean, unfortunately, the way the world is now, I have to preface these remarks by again saying I'm not a racist, I'm not a zealot, I'm not an NFO. We're a welcoming, compassionate nation who want to do all we can for others, and we always have done. But there is a problem at the moment where we are risking that reputation because of the approach our government and in the European context that's been taken to the immigration crisis. Where I believe that we're displaying and demonstrating a willingness, a speed, and a blank check approach that's not reciprocated when it comes to looking after our own. And so what emerged last week that had me in the media nationally was the fact that 22 new modular homes were being made available in Doherty Park in Sligo for 22 families in the Ukraine, who are, of course, welcome. But when this scheme was announced last November, I asked the then Taoiseach, Micheál Martin, and broadly my words were, you know, the 2,400 people on the housing list in Donegal, the 1,500 in Sligo, the 700 in Leitrim, have asked me to ask you, when is it proposed that the government will waive planning law to facilitate the development of modular housing for them?
And they are beautiful. They are beautiful developments. Sorry, the answer you got, sorry, Mark.
Well, the answer I got was a dithering response, as is often the case from that particular gentleman. And this is the issue. And obviously, look, modular housing wouldn't suit everybody. But it wouldn't take any more than a month to survey all those people in the housing list nationally and say, look, who would be prepared to consider one of these? They have an 85-year lifespan, which is as good as any house, I would imagine. They're A-rated. Construction started in February, and we're not the end of July, and there's 22 families in them.
Yeah. Now, of course, you've referenced the housing waiting list, but there's another issue, as you're more than aware, in the northwest and down the west coast and beyond, and that is defective concrete. And the families have for a long time saying, look, we are having to move out of these unsafe houses. They are literally unlivable, costing a fortune to run and very dangerous for those that live in them and their young people. And they've said, please, can you look at modular housing? We've had numerous councillors make that same call at various meetings, and it's been ruled out. It's not that it's being considered, it's been ruled out. And what happens is, Mark, and you've prefaced your comments, and no one would for a minute think that you're racist or anything like that there. But what happens is that normal people who aren't like that start feeling angry towards another group of people because they feel they're being forced to. They're sitting there going, right, okay, I know what the government what they're doing for these people is right, but it's making me feel angry because they won't do it for me. So in other words, this policy is causing bad feeling and division in society.
I agree with you 100%, and that's what started me on about this over a year ago. I mean, it's not an either-or situation. It's our own as well. And sadly, what we're doing is, in a European context, we're an outlier by a country mile in Western Europe in terms of what we're doing, the level of supports, for example, that we're providing. And I'll just give you an example of it. Okay, so we give €230 per week. We give a medical card, we give free post home, we give accommodation, and then they're charged a little for the food. In Brussels, they give €7.90. In Denmark, they give €60. In the Netherlands, they give about €50. In France, it's 47 if you're given accommodation. It's 100 if you're not. And in Bulgaria, you get a one-off payment of €160 when you're on your own. So with the level of supports that are provided here, which is 254 if you're a pensioner, 230, as I said, and the other supports, what we are de facto doing here is marketing Ireland as the prime location to come to. And that's unsustainable. Of course, we all want to do all we can to assist, but we have to be conscious of our own capacity. And the point you're making, where we have normal, welcoming, compassionate people, and they're looking at this, and yes, frustrations are growing. Because we seem to be prepared to do the divil and all for everybody but ourselves. And, I mean, the defective concrete block scheme, you know, I know we have an improved scheme now than what was originally mooted. I mean, the blank no for modular housing as a partial solution in the interim while people's houses, that's just madness. You know, we need to be prepared to be open-minded. We need to be prepared to do what we can. And the other issue, of course, and it'll affect Donegal people as well as every other, is a student accommodation where the government put out these ridiculous tenders, and vulture funds based in the UK apply to the tenders, win them, and seek to displace students then from the likes of the ATU, where in Sligo there are two complexes with 500 student bases. In abeyance at the moment.
But Mark, you've,
some parents are.
Yeah, I was going to say. No, you've asked these questions. You've obviously explored it yourself. You have been in this government. Why then? And it's not an either or. Why would it be then the policy that, in your view, the government is I think you referred to it as signing a blank check and doing all of it, all it can to house Ukrainian refugees, but not applying the same principles and rules for Irish people who are also struggling. Like, what would be, in, as much as you can determine, the thought process that would lead the government to that strategy?
My personal view is guilt for the lack of military support that other countries are providing. But more to the point, and I'll be criticised for this, but this is what I believe, ingratiating our leaders who parade the world with their CVs under their arm with their own futures in mind.
But they would... Okay, that's quite a claim. Sort of looking to the future then. And one other question, why do you believe the package that we're offering is so generous compared to our European? Because normally we follow what happens in Europe. Why do you think we are being so generous? Is it for the same reasons?
Well, I think it's ridiculous. So if you take the people in direct provision in Letterkenny, for example, they get €38.80 per week per adult and €29.80 per week per child. I could have been a multimillionaire in the Ukraine and unfortunately have been displaced by the war, and I'm coming over, I'm getting accommodation, I'm getting $230 per week, I'm getting a medical card, I'm getting free post home. Like, that's just not fair by any objective analysis.
It's not really fair if you're in direct provision, I suppose, you might feel, that why are you being treated differently?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, Deputy Mark McSharry, thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. 086 60 25,000. If you have any views on that. Just relating to our comments on the Dublin-Kerry game, was that man watching the same match? They win by 2 points. That's the match ref had a lot to do with it. That's the great thing about sport, though. It's subjective and we can all have our different views. And although the referee yesterday should not have been refereeing yesterday's game, being from Meath, he was giving away opportunities to Dublin and it wasn't fair. How does everyone else feel about this? Is there any... And also, too, they say that there was one incident there. I kind of had a two-year-old on my head trying to watch the game for much of it. There was a particular point, too, where a decision was made, and they always say, don't argue with the ref. There's no point arguing with the ref. But they did remonstrate with the ref, and he did seem to soften his decision somewhat. A throw ball instead of a free in, which, again, might have been a pivotal point in that game. So, kids, if you're out there listening, keep arguing with the refs. Okay. No, I'm not suggesting one should do that for a moment. There's more conversation coming in as it relates to the proposals for a Christmas craft fair in Buncrana. To Jack Moore, yes, bring a Christmas fair to Buncrana, but not Swan Park. Car park next door to Aldi or car park behind the library, not Swan Park. That's not for the parks. Thank you, enjoying your show, and thank you for... your comments. Hi, Greg. I'm just wondering if you have any other suggestions for me. I listen to your show every morning. I really enjoy it. Thank you for that. I've been refused twice for invalidity pension. I had a life-changing shoulder injury and I've applied for invalidity pension last July. I've been refused twice. I will attach the latest letter from my GP, which you can read. If I could work, I would, but unfortunately I can't lift my arm past 40 degrees. I'd appreciate any help. I'm not in any receipt of payments from the welfare as my wife's wages are means tested. And I just, the letter is there. I'm not sure there's any advantage me reading it out. We've contacted the department as well. You might remember as well, last week there was a lady on with us. Her son was a full, or wanted to be, or is a full-time carer for his sister. I believe the situation was. And they had applied for carers, full-time carers allowance for him because mum was out working and that's how mum was able to obviously pay the bills but pay for hospital appointments, consultants' appointments for the daughter. They had a visit to the house by an inspector ages ago, months ago, and the inspector refused the application. And they had tried on numerous occasions to get the situation resolved, to get a review, to get an appeal. All of that was falling on deaf ears and the son was getting frustrated. It was affecting his mental health. Obviously, the pressure's on mom as well. And she contacted us and come on the show, if you might remember that call. Well, anyway, very shortly thereafter, it's good news. the son now is going to get his carer's allowance for being a carer, and, which I think is really nice as well, the allowance is being backdated to the application point. So not only is he going to be able to be, can't say make a living, but do you know what I mean? To cover his costs for caring for his sister, the money's actually been backdated to the original application that was initially refused. So isn't that great news? And fair play to whomever was responsible for taking a look at that case and seeing that it was a glaringly obvious case that this young man should be receiving the carer's allowance. So positive outcome there. Yes, indeed. And we'll be outside Cavanaghs, I think, next Friday, as you heard Kevin mention there. Looking forward to getting over to Dunloe next Friday and for the weekend as well. And yesterday, they were streaming some of the concert, the country concert yesterday. Fantastic. Daniel, of course, always a class act. You know what you get with Daniel. He's so passionate about all things Dunloe and all things Mary from Dunloe. So we're looking forward to being there on Friday morning. As I mentioned, it's for the most part business as usual, but we'll also be having a bit of fun as well, of course. Well, we always have a bit of fun too, don't we? We're not sticks in the muds. Right, 086 60 25,000 WhatsApps and texts. Also, Breed, Siobhan, Rosemary, amongst those watching the show across our YouTube, Facebook pages, good morning to you. Thank you so much for being on board. Time Ireland got real with refugees. I see a video of people protesting on O'Connell Street. They come to our country. We've taken care of them, give them the best treatment. They have the cheek to stand out on our capital and protest. Time the Garda moved them on. Why didn't they get away within their own country? I would love to know what you're referencing there, because I would keep quite a close eye on all matters online, and I didn't see the protests that you reference. If you can give me a little bit more information, I'd really appreciate it. Okay. I really appreciate our head of sport, Oisín Kelly, in studio with us now. Good morning, Oisín. How are you getting on?
Good morning, Greg.
It's good to have you with us. Okay. Right, so Ireland are playing their last game in the World Cup. They are playing at Nigeria, which I believe are a team that exceeded expectations of them in a really tough group, also involving Australia and Canada. So there's two important games today. I suppose Nigeria, a draw, will do them to get out of the group.
Yeah.
And it's all to play for between the big guns of Canada and Australia. Yeah. We'll get to that. Just your assessment of Ireland's performance. I mean, it's brilliant to get to the finals. And I think for periods of both games, they did themselves really proud. What's your view?
On reflection, it's been a tremendous achievement to get there. But when you get there, you would like maybe to perform better than, and to have the outcome of the results better than what they were, Greg. They played very well against Australia. They were exceptional in the first half against Canada. But just that final passage of play, that final ball, just hasn't been there, unfortunately, for Ireland. So they'll be disappointed that they weren't able to get a point or get a result or even to draw a game. Now, that may change today because they've got one game to go, but they'll be disappointed with how it panned out, because when you get there, I'm sure the girls wanted to step up to the plate. Today, I haven't seen any team news yet. Wait to see if Amber's going to be playing. Mm. She may just decide to give the rest of the girls who are part of the squad, maybe including the likes of Kira Grant, some game time today, because they're part of the squad that got them to the World Cup. But it'll be mixed feelings for the Irish team. If they lose today, they'll be very disappointed that they haven't won a game. If they can get a draw, it'll somewhat add to
the
experience.
I think they're going to go for it today, and I can see it either being like something like,
but they've nothing to lose, so yeah, they've nothing to lose.
3-2 to Ireland, or 4-0 to Nigeria.
There might be a wee bit more.
I don't think it's going to be a 0-0, 1-1. I think there's going to be 5 goals in the game one way or other. Yeah. I think.
But anyway, the unfortunate thing about it, when you do go gung-ho at it,
It could be 4-0 to Nigeria. It's an older Irish team, isn't it? Now, there are some brilliant younger players coming through, but I suppose this is the last hurrah for many of these players at World Cup level. Is that a fair enough assessment?
Be a few of them will be thinking about their careers and what they're going to do next. And listen, Greg, at times, particularly for females, there's a lot of other things that happen in their life that they want to move on with. For some of them, family may be something that they want to do in the coming years, and that means they're going to have to give up their sport. So there'll be a few of the girls that will be thinking of making a call on how far they can go with their international career. You're hoping this is a sort of stepping stone for international football for the women. So the younger girls that are part of the group and those that were sort of on the fringe of the squad would be hoping that a few of the more experienced players may decide to hang around for another for another campaign, to see if they can bring them on. But who's going to be in charge, Greg? We're talking about the players. Vera Pausol hasn't got that contract yet.
Does she want it?
Because she seems to do. She seems to does want it.
Because the phraseology seems to be the FAI are dragging their feet.
Yeah, it seems to be. Now, why are they doing that? There's a lot going on away from the pitch around Vera Pauw at the minute.
Behind the scenes.
Yeah, that's the obviously what's the allegations made against her from the time that she was involved in soccer in the US. So how prominent is that going to feature in the FAI putting a new deal on the table? She's denied these allegations. I'm sure there's going to be some sort of investigation into it. But do the FAA want to move forward with Vera Pauw? With that hanging over, not knowing what the outcome is going to be, that may be a big factor on it, Greg.
Yeah, for sure. But I mean, lots of firsts. First time at a Women's World Cup. First time scoring, you know, first goal.
Yeah.
Hopefully maybe today we've only the got first one. Point.
Hopefully we'll get a few more.
Yeah, but first point. Yeah. One's never enough, is it? So there are lots of positives to take away. And I think, you know, particularly for people that very much look up to teams like this and aren't poisoned as they get older by the, you know, people sometimes can't enjoy sport. Young people can, and they just see it for what it is, and they'll see it as a brilliant achievement. Yeah. I mean, There's a lot of positives.
If Ireland were to win today, Greg, it would be huge for football, because look at the hype was around when we spoke ahead of the first game.
That was huge.
And about Irish football. And in particular, we were obviously going the Donegal angle with Amber and Kira. Now, we knew we were hoping that Amber would play some sort of role. We were so deflated afterwards. So we were. And that was just from our local perspective on the team. But overall, from Ireland, you were deflated after the result as well. Yeah. And you were going from such a high
to such
a low in a very, very short period of time.
Well, until the second half of the second game.
But what I'm talking about is a couple of days, Greg, because there was all this build-up and hype, and Ireland's in the World Cup for the first time, and this is great.
I think, too, what was a problem with keeping momentum going is the fact that it's on the other side of the world, and the timing of it. Do you know what I mean? You kind of wake up and it's all done and dusted, or you have to go to work and you can't really watch it or whatever. And I think if these World Cups were in Europe, there'd even be more buzz, and it might be even more sustained. Right, okay, so what time's kick-off today?
It's 11 o'clock this morning,
11
Greg.
Bells, and it is Ireland versus Nigeria. It'll feel like a home game for Ireland because lots of people are still out there having followed the team. And, of course, there's a really big Irish population over in Australia at the moment.
Yeah, and it's great seeing the photographs on social media and the local press as well. Different people from different parts of the county who are now residing down under, Greg.
And so, give us your prediction.
Give us the prediction. 1-1 draw.
3-1, 4-1 Nigeria. I'll spread it 3-1.
I'm trying
Nigeria.
To be a bit positive here. Yeah, after seeing them the last day, watching the highlights against Australia.
Listen, come here. Did you, I know you're up to your ears at the weekends, did you get to watch the All Ireland final?
It was brilliant, Greg.
Yeah, you enjoyed it?
It was brilliant. And it wasn't for the high quality scores they were hoping for. I think the man in the middle, David Goff, played a huge role yesterday in letting that game go, and it added to the entire day.
To the spectacle.
It was age of the seat stuff.
And it ebbed and flowed too.
But the way he reffed that game yesterday, to me, that's the way GA matches should be reffed. A lot of refs now, you put a hand on a player, you do anything at all, that would be seen as soft.
Just a lineup come in there.
It would be seen as soft. A lot of referees now are blown for very soft things, but David Goff yesterday got it. He got it bang on. So he did. And he done an exceptional job.
Brosnan in goal, Fahey, Quinn, Connolly along the back line, Payne, Ag, Little John, McCabe, and up front O'Sullivan, Caruso, and Farrelly.
Right. Okay. So no, sure, they're not starting Amber today again. No.
Okay. So that's the setup as a 3-4-3. Just got the notification there.
You're on tight with the FAI, I take it? You're on tight with the FAI.
Another exclusive. So I got distracted as that came in. You don't believe then the ref changed that game? You think if you look at it over the overall...
I thought he was brilliant yesterday. Yeah, okay. I thought he was brilliant on it yesterday. He let a lot of stuff go, which added to the spectacle. So it had. And full credit to Dublin, Greg. 3 points down on two occasions. So now I know David Clifford wasn't having the best day at the office, and you get days like that. Luckily, from a Dublin point of view, Greg, it worked out for them yesterday because Clifford didn't show his best.
Yeah,
a lot of people will say Mick Fitzsimons, who has relations here in Donegal, Greg. Murray, do you remember Murray used to work here?
I do, of course.
Cousin. That's the Donegal link.
That's the
Donegal connection.
It's tenuous, but yeah.
Like, he's got 9 All-Irelands now. He's one of 3 players that only have 9 on. And he was marking David Clifford, and he'd done a good job at him. But David Clifford yesterday just had an off day at the office. And if he was on form, David Clifford may do nothing for a full game in the last 10 minutes. He could have 2-4. That sort of way. But it didn't happen for him yesterday. And maybe there was a lot of things this year. Obviously, with his mother passing and a lot of pressure being talked about as the best Gaelic footballer of all time, and this is now the showpiece for him, it just didn't work out. But there's no doubt he'll be back in an All-Ireland final, and there's no doubt Kerry will be back chomping at it. Because if Dublin lose, you looked at the players that were key yesterday. Cluxton was brilliant in goals. He's got 9 All-Irelands. Is he going to come back at 41 years of age then? Jack McCaffrey, who came off the bench.
10's a nice round number, though.
Yeah, it was exceptionally good. Mm. The older players played a huge role yesterday. If you were to take that out of that Dublin setup.
Yeah. Well, that was their strength for sure. So, Oisín, listen, fantastic stuff. Thanks very much. Oisín will be back with lunch at Sport at lunchtime with the latest and all of that stuff. Right, Oisín Kelly, thank you very much indeed. Head of Sport at Highland Radio. Okay, let's take a break for the news and obituary notices. We'll be right back there after. Stay right where you are.